Let us all turn together to the Word of God. We're going to read from Luke's Gospel and the chapter 2. The last Lord's Day we were giving out Bibles to boys and girls attending our church service, and most of them were given out, but we still have, take a round number, maybe half a dozen. And if you missed last Lord's Day and didn't get your copy, do see Mr. Higginson or myself at the end of this service. Let's refer to this passage, Luke chapter 2, in the Word of God, reading from verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. I did say last Lord's Day, the reference to all the world was that part of the world under the domain of Caesar, who's mentioned there in verse 1. Caesar Augustus, that all the world should be taxed. His economy perhaps was sagging, I can't be sure on that point, but he felt the time had come to increase the income of all the people in his domain. So the people in highest authority weren't thinking about Christ. They weren't thinking about God. They weren't thinking about the scriptures. They were thinking about money. They were thinking about society. They were thinking about the future prosperity of their domain, the great Roman Empire. There's an explanation in verse 2, and this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. Now, his name is added to the list of the great people in those times. But now the Lord's going to turn our attention away from the great people in this world. We're going to seek out Christ in the chapter. Verse 3, and all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary, Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Humble servants, humble preachers, if you like. But what a message, what a stirring word. And we praise the Lord for the reading of this portion and the preaching of it too, for his name's sake.
I'd like to thank Dr. Douglas for reading the Word of God this morning, and also to our brother Eric for bringing the announcements for the week that lies before us. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, again this morning. We began last Lord's Day to look at this wonderful and glorious scene in the Word of God, where the shepherds were watching over their flocks, and suddenly the Lord visited them. In a sense, the glory of the Lord shone around about them. The angel of the Lord descended and brought them tidings of the gospel. And our text this morning is found from verse 10 down to verse 12. The angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." I want to speak for a little while this morning very simply upon the subject, the greatest news that the world ever heard. The greatest news the world ever heard. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. Good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. This is the greatest news that the world has ever heard. Let's pray together, and let's ask God to be one of our number. And let's really seek the Lord this morning. Maybe you've never prayed for a long time, or you've never prayed in earnest before. Let's pray that even now the Spirit of God will speak to us through the Word of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful, so grateful for Thy Word. And we know today that Thy Word is truth and is forever settled in heaven. And we pray this morning that the Word of God will come to all of our hearts with freshness, with clarity, and with power. And we ask, O God, that Thou wilt speak to us and help us to see our Savior in all of His fullness. And we pray in Jesus' name that each and every one will come to know this wonderful Savior who came into this world to go to the cross. We rejoice that He's alive forevermore, and we pray that He will be glorified this morning. Stand in our midst, Lord, in all Thy power, and speak to us by Thy Spirit, through Thy Word. And we pray in Jesus' name that Thou wilt be glorified. Hear and answer prayer, we humbly pray in the Savior's name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Now, we took a little bit of time last Lord's Day morning to consider the thrilling words of Luke chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And we were thinking of this great scene whenever something of heaven touched the earth. And there was an inescapable sense of the presence of God just in that Judean hillside outside of Bethlehem the night that the Savior was born, an inescapable sense of the presence of God. And those are things that we need to look for in our day and generation. We need to experience the presence of God again in our day and in our generation. It's relatively easy to come to a meeting like this, a church service, and open the Word of God and think about it and go on our way and yet not have experienced the presence of God and not perhaps to have been as conscious of the speaking voice of God as we ought to have been. It's so important, as the Bible says, to be still and to know that the Lord is God. And it's surely the prayer of every Christian that the Lord will visit His people again, and that this land of ours again might know times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. But you'll notice in the end of verse number 9, the response of these shepherds as the glory of the Lord shone round about them. It simply says they were sore afraid. They were very afraid. They were filled with fear. That's what it means. They were sore afraid. And it may be this morning that in your life, in your personal circumstances, that you also, you likewise, are filled with fear. It mightn't be for the same reason that the shepherds were filled with fear, but nevertheless, you find yourself this morning, or just in life's journey, generally speaking, filled with fear, filled with anxiety, filled with worry and trepidation. It might be because of the circumstances we find ourselves in the world at this particular time. It may be your own personal circumstances recently, and maybe on the horizon as well, that cause you this morning to be filled with fear. It may be just the sense of need in your life, maybe guilt or uncertainty about your past, about your present, about your future. And you know this morning that by nature you're a fearful person. And yet the wonderful thing about Luke's Gospel chapter 2, we find the remedy for all of our fears. They were sore afraid because they were overwhelmed by their circumstances. They were out of their comfort zone. Something is happening in their lives that they have never experienced before. They don't know how to deal with it. They don't know what's going to happen whenever this experience is over. And they were afraid. But the lovely thing is that the answer to their fear is given in verse 10. The angel said unto them, fear not. Now, so many times the Bible says and tells us that we're not to be afraid, fear not. But it's very difficult to turn off our fears. It's very difficult to rise above our fears and say, well, that's okay, I'm not going to be afraid. But the lovely thing here about Luke chapter 2, it tells us why we're not to be afraid. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be for all people. And the word there that is translated in our English Bible, good tidings, is the same word that is translated elsewhere in the Bible, gospel. And so the angel saying to the shepherds, do not be afraid, because I come to you today with the gospel. Good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. You see, the gospel is good news. And the gospel is something that should thrill and fill our hearts. The gospel is something that should dispel our fears and bring joy and peace into our hearts and into your lives. And whatever your fear might be this morning, whatever your anxiety might be today, whatever your worries might be today, I believe that the gospel, the good tidings, the good news, is the answer to all of our fears. It's a gospel of great joy. And we rob ourselves of this joy and this peace whenever we are not captivated by the gospel and whenever we don't meditate upon it. So I just want to share this morning with you the simple gospel message as it's revealed in these verses, Luke's Gospel chapter 2 verses 10 through 12. And yes, it's the greatest news that the world has ever heard. And there are just a few words that I want to leave you with this morning as we consider the great news of the gospel. Notice, first of all, the signification of the gospel, its significance. The gospel is deeply significant for mankind. Look at what the angel says, "I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Whether it's the shepherds, whether it's the people of Bethlehem or the people of Jerusalem, or the people of Samaria, or the wise men that came from the east, or us living today, all of these years and generations later, the gospel is deeply significant universally. Glad tidings of great joy, which shall be for all people. Maybe this morning you're not a very religious person. Maybe this morning you never read your Bible. You maybe never really come to a church service like this. But can I tell you this morning that the gospel is still for you? The gospel is for all people. Jesus Christ came to be the Savior of the world. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. The gospel is for those of Bethlehem, it's for those in Jerusalem, and it's for those who come from the east, the wise men, and it's for you this morning. This gospel is for you. I want you to understand that the gospel is universal in its application and universal in its significance. It's a universal gospel, but it's also a very personal gospel. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. So the angel says the gospel is good news for all people. It's universal, but it's also very personal. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The gospel is universal, and the gospel is also very personal. The hymn writer said, "Jesus, my Savior, from Bethlehem came, born in a manger to sorrow and shame. Oh, it was wonderful, blessed be His name, seeking for me. And it may be that you've come to this service this morning, and I'm not sure what your reasons are for being here. But all of a sudden you're discovering that the gospel is something, yes, universal, but also something personal. And the Savior came for each and every one of us. And He's seeking you this morning. And it's very, very personal. I can still remember as a young lad of 13 years of age, way back in 1992, attending a weekend of meetings for young people over in County Fermanagh, in a little place outside of Cash. It was called the Willow Pattern Pantry back in those days. And I can remember the first time in my life ever being asked this question: "Are you a Christian?" Face to face with a man I'd never met before. He was speaking at those meetings, and just as I was about to go in, he was coming out, and he asked me that question: "Are you a Christian?" And then they began to sing this old chorus: "I was once in darkness, but now my eyes can see. I was lost, but Jesus sought and found me. Oh, what love He offers, oh, what peace He gives. I will sing forevermore He lives." And I began to realize that this gospel that I'd heard about, and this Bible that I had read, and this Savior that I knew that came from glory and was born in Bethlehem and went to a cross, it was not only a universal, a general thing, but it was a very personal thing. And can I ask you that same question this morning that changed my life all of those years ago? Are you a Christian? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you ever come to realize that He came into this world to seek and find you? And He died on the cross for you. Do you believe that this morning? It's deeply significant, universally, as well as personally. The signification. Then we've also got reference here to what theologians sometimes call the incarnation. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior." And right there in Luke's Gospel chapter 2, we have the fulfillment of a prophecy that was given in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 6 over 700 years previous. For unto us is born a Savior. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. Did you notice there that the prophet Isaiah said the son was given, but the child was born? The son was never born because the son was eternal. God so loved the world that he gave his eternal son, his only begotten son. And the son of God came into this world and was born as a man, born as a child. And grew up in this world. And that's why the Bible says, again in the book of Isaiah chapter 7, 14, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son. And thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. That little boy that was born in Bethlehem in Luke's Gospel chapter 2, he was Christ the Lord. The eternal Son of God, the everlasting Lord, coming into this world and taking to himself a true body and a reasonable soul and being born and made in the likeness of sinful flesh. It's a wonderful thing to consider. This incarnation that the eternal Son, the everlasting Son of God, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, co-equal and co-eternal with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit, the Son of God, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Bible says, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. The Bible says, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. The Bible says He was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And friends, this is where so many of the cults and so many of the false religions fail and fall, because they deny the essential deity of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. They deny His eternality. They deny that He's co-equal and co-eternal with God. And yet, whenever Jesus Christ came and grew up in this world, He was able to identify with each and every one of us. And He knows exactly who you are. And He knows how you are. And He knows what you are. And the Bible says He was touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. And so many of the hymn writers put it so well. I think of Charles Wesley in his great hymn, Christ, by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord, late in time, behold Him come, offspring of the virgin's womb, veiled in flesh the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity, pleased as man with men to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Or as Mr. Alexander puts it in his great hymn, Once in Royal David City, he says, He came down to earth from heaven. Who is God and Lord of all? And His shelter was a stable, and His cradle was a stall. With the poor and mean and lowly, lived on earth a Savior holy. And then we sang earlier, See in yonder manger low, born for us on earth below. See the Lamb of God appears, promised from eternity. Friends, these aren't just hymns that we sing at this time of year because they're nice and they're sentimental. These are some of the greatest truths that the world has ever known. That the Son of God, the Creator of all things, became a man and was born into this world. And He was born for us. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Notice as well the occasion. Unto you is born this day. God's timing was perfect. Paul said in Galatians, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son. And right at the very right moment, at the very right time, at the right day, that particular day, a Savior was born. After 400 years of silence, a Savior comes into this world. His timing is always perfect. and his timing will be perfect when he comes back again. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "Of that day knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only." And God has appointed a day whenever Christ is going to come back again. And then the book of the Acts of the Apostles tells us that God has appointed another day in the which he will judge the quick and the dead. And then as far as salvation is concerned, it says, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation." And wouldn't this be a wonderful occasion for you if you were to respond to the gospel this morning and trust Christ as your Lord, as your Savior, and as your Master? Why not trust him today? Why wait another moment? The Bible says, "Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts." Notice as well the location. "Unto you is born this day in the city of David." David's royal city. King David's hometown. The Bible opens in the New Testament with the words, "Jesus Christ, the Son of David." And he was born in David's city. And the word Bethlehem, it just means the house of bread. And whenever the Lord spoke to his disciples in John chapter 6 and verse 35, he said, "I am the bread of life. I am the bread which came down from heaven." Bread is a necessity. It's a staple diet. Bread is something that fills us, something that feeds us, something that satisfies our hunger. And Jesus Christ, the bread of life, the bread of heaven, came down and was born in Bethlehem, the house of bread. And you see how all of these wonderful things are coming together. It was also a fulfillment of prophecy. The prophet Micah said in Micah chapter 5, "And thou, Bethlehem Ephrata, though thou be least among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth, he whose goings have been from old, from everlasting." And it was the little town of Bethlehem. You see how we can trust the Bible this morning? And the lovely thing about those shepherds, Bethlehem wasn't far away. It says there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the fields. Bethlehem was just down the road. And so they didn't even have to travel far to find the Savior. The Word of God says this morning that he's not far from any one of us. And I can't help but believe that sitting in a service like this on a Lord's Day morning with the Word of God open and God's people praying and the Savior being presented, that if you're not yet a Christian, you're not far from the kingdom of God. The Bible says if you call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. And you can reach out the hand of faith this morning and take Christ as your Savior and as your Lord. Our text this morning as well, it just doesn't speak of signification and incarnation and the occasion and the location, but also salvation. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior." God sent a Savior because all men need a Savior. That's why the gospel is so relevant and so universal. Now, not all men need financial help. Not all individuals need physical healing. Not all individuals need a good education. Not everybody in the world needs a psychologist. God did not send an ecologist. He did not send an economist. He did not send a scientist. He did not send an educator or a psychologist or a military leader or general. He sent a Savior. Because all of us need a Savior. "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." That's what the name Jesus actually means. It means Savior. And God sent a Savior. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior." And so the angel's telling these shepherds, you need a Savior. You need to be saved. You need to be forgiven. You need to be delivered from the power and the consequences of your sins. And as a Savior, he had to come into this world and live for us and go to a cross and die for us. You know, if somebody was dying in the in the street someday. If you were walking through Bow Street in Lisburn and some man was dying in the street, I'm sure that would get your attention, wouldn't it? Or if somebody was being stoned to death in the street, I'm sure that would get everybody's attention. People think, what on earth is going on? If somebody was being nailed to a cross before our eyes, and they'd been crowned with thorns, and they were a complete stranger to us, maybe they were even a criminal, and we think they're getting what they deserve, it would still get our attention, wouldn't it? But yet, whenever we think about the very Son of God Himself dying upon a cross because of our sins, so often it doesn't cause us a second thought. It's like the prophet Jeremiah says, "Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by?" And if you take nothing else out of this meeting, remember this. A Savior came, and according to the Word of God, He died upon a cross because of our sins. And we need Him. I want you to take that to heart this morning. A Savior came and died upon a cross. And then we also have here His identification. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Who is He? He's Christ the Lord. The word Christ is really a title. It means the Anointed One. It's the New Testament counterpart of the Old Testament word Messiah. One that God has appointed, set forth, and anointed, and furnished for this particular office. A Savior. Which is Christ, the Lord. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. I love here that this angel speaks with such simplicity. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Simplicity, and also sufficiency. A Savior. Paul said in Hebrews 7:25, He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. The simplicity of the gospel, the sufficiency of the gospel, He saves fully, He saves freely, He saves finally, and He saves forever. And also sovereignty here, a Savior which is Christ the Lord. I wonder, is Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? I wonder, have you given your life to Him? Have you placed your life in His hands? Have you trusted Him as your Savior? And do you yield to Him as your Lord? And we also see here singularity. I, Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Not one Savior among many, but the Savior. The only Savior. You know, if you miss Jesus Christ and you never trust Him as your Savior and you never receive Him as your Lord, you miss salvation. You miss heaven. You miss God completely. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And then the last thing I want you to notice, clarification. Notice how our text ends in verse number 12. And this shall be a sign unto you. God did not want these shepherds to be in any doubt as to who this Savior was, as to where He was, and as to how they could find Him. And so the angel under God gives them a very clear and unmistakable sign so that they could know 100% that we have found the Savior. I wonder today, do you know that you're saved? I wonder today, do you know that your sins are forgiven? I wonder today, do you know that you're going to heaven? I believe the Lord doesn't want us to be in any doubt about these things at all. That's why He's given us the Bible. John in 1 John 5 says, "And these things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life." Would you not like to leave this church service this morning being able to say, like Fanny Crosby said in her hymn, "Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine." Would you not be able to say, like the Apostle Paul, "I know whom I have believed, And I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. The angel said, ye shall find. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. You can find him this morning. God says, ye shall seek me and find me when ye search for me with all of your hearts. Now notice here the sign that is given. You'll notice his infancy. Ye shall find the babe. So whenever you go to Bethlehem, you're looking not for an adult or a teenager, but you're looking for a little babe. And that shows us his humiliation in coming into this world as a little infant, as a little babe. He didn't come in royal robes. He didn't come with an army. He didn't come and immediately sit upon a throne. He didn't come with a chorus of angelic beings to herald his first coming to speak to the entire world. He just came as a little infant, as a little babe, nothing flamboyant. And maybe today you're looking for something flamboyant. The Bible makes it very simple, and it shows us that it's by simple faith. This little babe. And he's wrapped in swaddling clothes. He's not dressed in the best of attire. He's just clothed in bandages, swaddling bands, if you like. And again, that shows us his humility. And he's going to be found lying in a manger. You'll not find him in a hospital bed. You'll not find him in a nice, warm, comfortable home. You'll not find him in a hotel or an established licensed premises, but you'll find him lying in a manger. And so it's impossible that there's going to be anybody else in Bethlehem that particular night that has just been born, that is wrapped in swaddling clothes, and that is lying in a manger. So the sign is unmistakable. And so whenever the shepherds at last find him, they know for sure this is the Savior. This is the one that God has sent. And this is the one that has come into the world to deal with our sins. And you know something? It ends in verses 15 and 16. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. Now the Lord did not speak to them directly. He spoke to them via an angel, via a messenger. But they took it as being a message from the Lord. And they realized we have to do something. We cannot receive news like this and be neutral or indifferent or lethargic, or we cannot procrastinate and put it off to some other time. Because the Lord has made known unto us that the Savior has come this day. And we can find him this very moment. We mightn't find him if we wait till tomorrow. Let us now go. And let's find the Savior for ourselves. And they all with one accord went, and they made the right response to the greatest news that the world has ever heard. And it's the greatest news that the world can hear today, that unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. I wonder today, can I be so bold to ask you again, are you a Christian? Are you really saved? Do you know this Savior? Have you come to behold him for yourself? And can you, as the shepherds did, testify to others as to the reality of an experience of salvation in your life? Why not come to Christ today? Why not trust him this morning? I don't think the Lord would have you sitting in a meeting like this, hearing the good news of the gospel, if he didn't care for you, if he didn't love you, if he wasn't willing to save you, why not come and trust him even this morning?